Good morning. You're listening to Sacred Classics on Colorado Public Radio. I'm David Rutherford. My guest this morning is Paul Hillier, director of one of the finest choral ensembles in Europe, the Theater of Voices, which he founded in 1990. He also founded the Hilliard Ensemble, taught at the University of California and Indiana University, was principal conductor of the Estonian Philharmonic Chamber Choir, and in 2003, he became chief conductor of Ars Nova Copenhagen. In 2009, he included the National Chamber Choir of Ireland to his conducting resume. His recordings have won a couple of Grammys, one in 2007 and most recently in 2010 with the Theater of Voices and Ars Nova Copenhagen. He joins us this morning from his home in Copenhagen. Good morning, Paul Hillier. Thank you so much for joining us on Sacred Classics this morning.
Thank you.
How in the world did you come up with the name Theater of Voices?
Oh, dear. well, it's a long story, and I'll try and make it very short. There was a, I think it was a Persian classic story called The Conference of the Bird, that's right. And that gave me the idea to call a festival of music that I was organizing, the Festival of Voices. And then when I wanted to start a new group, I came to the term Theatre of Voices. When you listen to voices, the words that they sing create pictures in your mind so that even though there's no stage or scenery, you have an effect, something in front of you, a kind of theater created by the words. I seem to have been explaining it ever since, so maybe it was a little bit too obscure.
You've spent your entire career in the world of choral music, starting as a singer. How did you catch the conducting bug, or was that something that you always knew that you wanted to do?
Yes, I think to both. in other words, it developed gradually out of singing, but directing the group that I was singing in. And then gradually, so to speak, I turned round and faced the other singers and started conducting. But when I look back, I think that I was always interested in conducting vocal music. Right from when I was a young student, I was forming a group of singers to perform music a cappella. I loved the sound of voices together, and I liked to create the programs that they would sing, and I liked, at that point, of course, I was singing in them anyway, so I had to just direct, but gradually I moved away from that and realized that what I most wanted to do later in my life was simply to conduct.
As busy as you are now on the podium, do you get a chance to sing much?
Not really. I mean, I do still do some singing, but I'm just too busy to do it properly. And the trouble is, it's like being an athlete. When you stop training every day, when you stop doing something every day, it kind of gets a little bit rusty. So it's better for everybody, myself included, if I stick to one thing at a time.
I wanted to talk to you this morning because of this wonderful new recording that you released earlier this year with the Theater of Voices in Ars Nova Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Creator Spiritus. It's all music of Estonian composer Arvo Pärt, and we'll talk about him and his music here in a moment. But let's hear a selection from this, The Deer's Cry. What is the story behind this piece?
Well, this text is the prayer that St. Patrick in Ireland and his followers are supposed to have recited when they passed through some part of the country where they understood that they were going to be attacked and killed. And supposedly this reciting this poem turns them into a deer, into a group of deer, and so made them, in effect, invisible, and they couldn't be attacked after all. And so the deer's cry is the name that's been given to this text.
That's Ars Nova Copenhagen, led by Paul Hillier, performing The Deer's Cry by Arvo Pärt. And Paul Hillier is my special guest this morning on Sacred Classics here on Colorado Public Radio. You know, it's remarkable how much silence is a part of Arvo Pärt's music.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's one of the interesting things, of course, when you go from one venue to another. For this reason, it's important to try and perform his music in a nice reverberant, doesn't have to be a church, but a church is probably best, so that the music echoes on a little bit after it's been, after a phrase has been sung, so that the silence isn't suddenly completely dead. It doesn't have to be a booming echo that goes on forever, but just a sense that the music lives a little bit longer than the actual moment when it's being sung. And when you have that, then you can kind of play with that in performance so that the silences become as expressive, really, as the music itself that's in between them.
You've become an expert on Arvo Pärt and his music. You've even written a book of essays about him, and also you've worked with him on numerous occasions. Why is his music, as ethereal and slow-moving as it is, so deeply compelling? What do you think is his special gift?
Oh, dear, that's such a difficult one to answer, I think. You know, why is a composer's music a certain way? First of all, not all his music is slow, though I would agree that certainly most of it is. For some reason, he's attracted to the idea of moving slowly from one point to the next. And I suppose it can be related to our ideas, anyway, of what Renaissance music is like. And, of course, not all Renaissance music is slow, but they certainly have an innate majesty and solemnity, which I think, I know that Pärt was very attracted to, very influenced by. And so maybe that's why his music works in the way that it does, because those inspirations have helped to create it. But it is very difficult to say why a composer writes in a certain way.
Well, just as an example of the other side of his music, I'd like to hear Peace Upon You, Jerusalem. Which is the one non-contemplative work on the recording. Can you tell us about this?
Well, yes, I mean, this piece is written for the high voices only. Sopranos and altos, and we've added a few tenors on the low alto line in one or two places. I was attracted to this piece because, as you say, it's not quite so meditative. In fact, it becomes slower. It kind of gets stuck at one point and then gradually gets slower and slower towards the end. But the start is much livelier, and in fact, if I remember correctly, it's marked dancing, and that's exactly how it starts. It's a song of joy, which then gradually unwinds itself into a slower conclusion. I thought it was a rather an unusual piece of his, and that's why I was particularly keen to include it.
Peace unto you, Jerusalem, by Arvo Pärt, performed by Arsenal Copenhagen, led by Paul Hillier. Mr. Hillier, why another recording of Arvo Pärt's music? I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that you recorded an entire album of his music.
Well, I suppose the obvious answer is that I like the music rather a lot. And, you know, if I wait a few years, then there's a pile of music that's built up that I'm very keen to record.
There's a fascinating group of composers from the Baltic states that all seem to share some of the same sensibilities and whose choral music I think is unique. Ugis Pralins, Peteris Vasks, and Viktors Bostiks from Latvia, Urmas Sisosk and Vilja Tormis from Estonia, along with Arvo Pärt and a bunch of others. What is it about that corner of the world that produces such a rich tradition of choral music?
Well, they have a very strong history of choral singing as something that is right at the core of the culture. It developed, I don't say it started, but it developed into something large scale in the 19th century. And it still continues to this day, and of large gatherings of singers, and I mean large, in, not only in the hundreds, but even in the thousands. And this tradition is found in all three Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. I don't know the Lithuanian scene very well, not so well anyway, but I certainly know the Latvian and the Estonian one. Quite impressive, I must say, for such small countries, small geographically and also small in terms of population, to have such a large number of people who sing in some way at some point.
How difficult is the language, and how much does the language itself inform the music of these particular composers?
Well, I don't know that I think all languages are equally difficult when you don't speak them, but I'm not sure that it affects the music so much as the... Well, yes, it does. It does, in a sense, especially in music that is strongly influenced by the folk music, because there both the sound of the words and the natural rhythms which are used for the poetry have been very much taken over into the musical composition. So I think, yeah, the language does influence it, but I don't think it's had so much influence on Pärt's music.
We have time for just one more selection from your new recording with the Theatre of Voices and Ars Nova Copenhagen. Can you introduce Arvo Pärt's Stabat Mater for us? Now, this is a seminal work for him, but it's about 30 years old now, isn't it?
I suppose it must be. I'd never thought of it like that. Time does pass. When I first met Pärt, around the time that I first met him, that's in the around 83, 84, i.e. about 30 years ago, he was writing this piece. He already had it planned, I know that. I don't know that he had completed it. And one day he asked me, "Paul, can you sing a top A?" I said, "No, I most certainly cannot." Because he wanted me to be singing in this new piece, which was very nice of him. But it was out of the question. So it's just for the three higher voices, soprano, alto, tenor, and the three string instruments, violin, viola, and cello. And considering how modest those voices are, and the fact that the text is approached very reverently and very closely, with the rhythms of the words determining the rhythm of the music, there's not much variation, at least not on a superficial level there. And yet, he creates such a rich score out of it. I mean, I've analyzed this piece very closely, but I like to do all pieces that I'm really fond of, and it's quite impressive. And yet, the thing that impresses me about this piece is that it is so powerfully expressive from beginning to end. I think it's one of his major works.
Well, let's hear it from your recent release, Creator Spiritus, Music of Arvo Pärt. This is our guest this morning, Paul Hillier, leading the Nuit Quartet, the Theater of Voices, soprano Elise Torp, countertenor William Purefoy, and Chris Watson, tenor. Arvo Pärt's Stabat Mater on Sacred Classics. Chris Watson, tenor, William Purefoy, countertenor, Elise Torp, soprano, with the Theater of Voices and the Nuit Quartet, led by Paul Hillier. The Stabat Mater by Arvo Pärt. Paul Hillier is our special guest this morning on Sacred Classics. Mr. Hillier, what are you working on next? What are you really excited about right now?
There were already so many things going through my mind, because it's August now, and we're about to start, you know, the new season of concerts. I'm doing some more Pärt. I'm doing some Danish part songs. I live in Denmark at the moment. And I'm doing more music by one of my favorite Renaissance composers, Johannes Ockeghem. I haven't done his music for a few years now, so I am particularly pleased to be going back to that repertoire.
Paul Hillier, best wishes for everything that you're doing, and thank you so much for joining us this morning on Sacred Classics.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. That was Paul Hillier, founder and director of the Theater of Voices and now music director of Ars Nova Copenhagen. His new recording of Arvo Pärt's music, Creator Spiritus, was released earlier this year, and you can find out more information about it, as you can about any music you hear on Sacred Classics, in the daily playlist in the classical music section online at cpr.org. Stay tuned. Sacred Classics continues in a moment on Colorado Public Radio.